Hello, iterative marketers. Welcome to the Iterative Marketing Podcast, where each week we give marketers and entrepreneurs actionable ideas, techniques, and examples to improve your marketing results. If you want notes and links to the resources discussed on the show, sign up to get them emailed to you each week at iterativemarketing.net. There you'll also find the Iterative Marketing blog and our community LinkedIn group where you can share ideas and ask questions of your fellow iterative marketers. Now let's dive into the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Iterative Marketing Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Robinson, and with me, as always, is the one-of-a-kind and irreplaceable Elizabeth Aaron. How are you doing today, Elizabeth?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful today. What's been keeping you busy?
Oh, my gosh. I have been crafting. We have our annual meeting coming up, and I wanted to put together a little gifts for some of our team members. And so I thought it would be fun to make mugs with cute little iterative marketing sayings on them.
Okay.
And so I used my silhouette that my husband got me for my birthday and, you know, so excited to do and started crafting. And it was like the worst Pinterest fail episode ever. I mean, nothing was working. It was bad. And even my husband walked in the room and he's like, is it supposed to look like that? And I'm like, No, it's not. So I'm not sure if everyone on the team is going to be getting mugs after all or not.
I see. Well, you could call them modern art.
Yeah, that's being very kind, very hopeful. And I'm not sure about that.
Okay, well, if we're not supposed to be talking about crafting today, which it sounds like we're not, what are we supposed to be talking about today?
Today we are talking about the think state, and we've talked about, the think as part of the consideration states before, but today we're taking a deep dive into think. So really getting into the nitty gritty and talking about in detail what the think state is and not only what our goals are for the think state, but the content that we use to target the think state and also the targeting methods for the think state.
And then we'll wrap things up talking about measurement and how we can measure success when we're hoping to improve the journey of those in the think state, right?
Exactly. But I think before we do that, we probably should do a quick review of the journey states for anyone who hasn't had a chance to listen to that episode. And episode 16 is when we do a high level coverage of the different journey states: see, think, do, grow, and give. Whoops, almost messed that up there. And then Steve, you wrote a phenomenal blog post called See, Think, Do, a Framework for Understanding Your Prospect's State of Being, which we will link to in the show notes as well.
Well, thank you for the credit, but we do need to also relay some credit to Avinash Kaushik, who came up with See, Think, Do. And it's his work that we've really taken and expanded on slightly, modified slightly, and definitely taken to heart. And it's become core to the iterative marketing methodology as a whole. When we dive into the different states, and I'll just run through these really, really quickly here. Our C state is the audience that is qualified. So they're in a position where they have the means to purchase your product or service, or they have the authority to purchase your product or service, and they are the type of prospect that you want to target. But they're not even thinking about purchasing your product or service right now, or maybe they already have a vendor that they're happy with. We dive into the C state in depth in episode 23. So if you want, we can jump back to that or plow forward with think state now and catch that one later. The next state, the one we're talking about today, is think state. That's where we're not only qualified, but now we are thinking about purchasing or making a change in vendors for this product or service in the future, but we have no commitment or timeline in which we're going to make this change. So it's kind of like, you know, you're going to be making a purchase, so it's on your mind, it's top of mind, but you're not ready yet. Do is when you are ready. That's when you've made a commitment to yourself or to someone else, or you have a definitive timeline to make a purchase. Those that are in that position are in our do state. And then we have the grow state and the give state that occur after that prospect becomes a customer. So grow is when they're a customer, they're a loyal customer, meaning they're going to at least think of you first when they come back to purchase again. But they're not singing your praises to others. They're not really entirely bought in, and they're not ready to give back to your brand. Whereas your give state are those that have completely drank the Kool-Aid and they're referring you to others. They're leaving positive reviews on websites. They are part of your army, right? And so those are the five states. Today we're going to focus on think, and we're going to try and hit think from a variety of different angles and see if we can't make this a truly deep dive into that think state.
So starting off, taking a look at what the goal of the think state is, and really the key here is we want to be a resource for this audience as they move through the buyer's journey. And while they move through the buyer's journey, we want to try and influence their decision. And I say try because we can put content out there and we can talk to them, but it's really up to the prospect as to the decision that they're going to make and when they're going to progress through onto the next state in that journey. But again, we're looking to influence them and we're really looking to build an affinity. And, you know, we were talking about this earlier and kind of going back and forth. And I said, really, think state is when you're trying to get them to be your friend.
Yeah, you're buddying up to that prospect and trying to make sure they like you. Do you like me? Do you really like me? But part of that is making sure that you're not pushing that person away by trying to sell to them. None of us wants to be friends with the person trying to sell us on something, right? So it's giving them content, trying to influence their decision without trying to sell to them, which is a really fine line. And usually that influence is limited to how they're approaching that decision or what aspects of that decision are top of mind and how they're thinking about it, not who they're going to buy from or what they're going to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this important?
You know, I think it's important because a think state prospect is usually not interacting directly with your brand. And what I mean by that is they're not going out and talking to a salesperson. They're not going to the dealership and interacting with that sales guy. They are instead they may be doing some research on their own, and they still may be kind of lurking in the background, but they are not actively out there. And so a lot of times you may not even be aware that they're in the think state, or you physically are not aware that they're in the think state, but they're out there and they're still consuming your content.
So they're not talking to you or your brand. They're not talking to your sales team. They're not there yet. They don't want to open up that dialogue yet. They're not picking up the phone and calling. They're not placing an order. They're not even putting stuff in their cart if this is e-commerce. They're lurking, for lack of a better term. But they are, to your point, Elizabeth, researching. They're also talking to their friends. They're getting referrals. They may be talking to other influencers or other people in their network, and they're hearing about your brand. And they may be engaging with other content as part of that research from your competitors. So it becomes very important that you do what you need to do to be at the table at this critical point in their buyer's journey.
Like you said, they're learning and they're engaging. And while it may not necessarily be a face-to-face engagement with you, they are still engaging with your brand. So if your brand is going to be at the table while this prospect is in think state and thinking about what solution or product they want to consider as they move forward in their customer's journey, we have to make sure that we are delivering content that's tailored to what their specific needs are within that state, get it in front of them before they're ready to move on. And that gives us the chance to build that relationship, build that affinity, and be on that short list when they're ready to start making that purchasing decision.
Exactly. I think this is a great point for us to take a quick break and go help some people.
Before we continue, I'd like to take a quick moment to ask you iterative marketers a small but meaningful favor and ask that you give a few dollars to a charity that's important to one of our own. This week's charitable cause was sent in by Jill Sire in Chicago, Illinois. Jill asks that you make a contribution to Cure Epilepsy, where over 90% of donations are directed to their mission of funding research and other initiatives that lead the way to a cure for epilepsy. Learn more at cureepilepsy.org or visit the link in the show notes. If you would like to submit your cause for consideration for our next podcast, please visit iterativemarketing.net/podcast and click the Share a Cause button. We love sharing causes that are important to you.
And we're back. So before the break, we talked about what think state really is, what puts somebody in think state. We talked about the importance of addressing think state in your marketing. Now we're going to get into how you do that. So we're going to talk about content first, and then we'll talk about how you reach individuals who are in think state. Elizabeth, how would you describe think state content? What makes a piece of content think state and not see or do?
You know, that's an important distinction right off the bat. Think state is not do state content. And this is extremely important because, our prospect in the think state is not ready to buy yet. And if we start pushing sales messaging down their throat, we're going to turn them off. So we really want to avoid content with features and benefits or with incentives to buy because they're not ready for that yet. And they're not ready to buy. And if we try to push them down that path before they're ready to get there, we turn them off. And that completely defeats the purpose of what it is that we're trying to do in think state.
And it's not C-state content either, because C-state content, your C audience has no interest in your product or service at that moment, so you have to find other things that they are interested in. Here you have an audience that is interested in your product or service. Your product or service is top of mind to them. They're just not ready to buy yet. So you can take advantage of that and provide content that is contextually relevant to your offering. And that's extremely important.
You know, I think that for me, think state content is really fun to write because you're working at earning their trust while they figure out what it is that they want. But you also get to talk a little bit about your brand because you want them to be thinking about you when they're ready to buy. So it's kind of that sweet spot. You're providing that utility, but you still get to talk about yourself. And so I always enjoy writing. You know, we do a lot of blog posts and I love think state content. I think that is, for me, the most fun to produce.
Yeah, and you have the ability to influence not so much their decision in which product they're going to purchase, but their influence their decision-making process. So, you know, you get to take whatever the best attributes are of your brand or your product or your service, and instead of saying you need to buy a printer that prints really fast, you can say, you know, one of the key considerations when selecting a printer needs to be the speed at which it prints, because this is the impact on your productivity of your office. Never mention the fact that you happen to have the fastest printer on the market, right? It's your ability to influence that thinking in a way that seems very helpful to that prospect at that moment in time. You know, I didn't even think about that. You're right. People are waiting for stuff to print. They're not working. That's not good. And at the same time, you're putting yourself in the lead later down that line.
Definitely. And I think a great example of a company that does this very well is Marketo. And I know that they had a webinar recently titled Selecting a Marketing Automation Solution that Scales. Again, it's not highlighting the features or benefits of Marketo. It's not trying to sell the solution, but it is being a resource for someone who is considering and is in the market for marketing automation. And you know, if this is something that you're considering, this is a piece that you can't miss. And presenting it in that way, where it's something you have to read, you are now getting in front of these people that are in think state, and you are becoming an indispensable resource for them.
And it's not just B2B companies that can do this. B2C can do this as well. And I think a great example is Home Depot, because if you've ever been to Home Depot, you'll see they have a wall where they talk about their upcoming workshops. And if you're in the position where you're thinking about maybe retiling your bathroom floor, this is a great opportunity for you to walk in and see exactly what's involved in this. It takes some of the intimidation out, and you have an affinity for Home Depot along the way. When you go to buy the supplies to retile your own bathroom floor, you're not going to go to Lowe's to buy the supplies. You're going to go back to Home Depot where you watch the guy teach you how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, both of the, I think, examples we gave are one was a webinar and one was a workshop. So these are in person. Think content does not have to be in person. You know, when you look at the Home Depot example, they have phenomenal how-to guides online. These are articles and blogs that you can reference that are material that you're reading. So again, it doesn't necessarily have to be an in-person contact. It doesn't have to be a video or anything of that nature. It just has to be a resource for them.
Yeah. Another one I like is Blue Apron. I'm not a Blue Apron subscriber as far as their service, which where they send you all of the ingredients to make a meal along with the recipe. But I've subscribed to get their recipes. So now they're scratching my itch, which is that I don't know what it is we're supposed to be cooking every night. So they're helping me with my meal planning, providing me with awesome recipes. It's only one step further for me to go, you know what? If I'm cooking the recipe, why don't I just have them send me the stuff? You know, so it's a great opportunity for them to identify those that are in market because they have a problem with meal planning, and then target great content and nurture them and be their best friend with these awesome recipes right up until the buying end. And no, they didn't pay us anything to put that in here.
No, they didn't. And it's, you know, a small step from using the recipes to having the food shipped directly to your house. So, you know, great strategy there. Let me ask you this, because we get asked this question a lot, and especially on organizations that have typically been focused on the do state and converting those sales. Should we gate content? To gate or not gate? That is the question.
And by gating content, you mean putting up a contact form where we ask for a bunch of personal information in order for them to be able to get this valuable resource, right?
Yeah, personal information, firstborn child, take your pick.
Yeah, and this is really a balance. And it comes down to the questions of what are your goals? If your goals are really pure to what we talked about earlier about think state in being that prospect's best friend as they go through the buyer's journey, then gating the content and getting their contact info doesn't need to be part of that at all. On the other hand, it can really help drive revenue if you start to fill up a contact database and be able to score them and identify who's in market and ready to buy when, right? So it is somewhat of a balance. The way that I look at it is you're going to produce a piece of content. Is it more valuable for a small number of people to be holding that piece of content and for you to know who they are because they completed a lead form to get it? Or is it more valuable for a larger group of people to be holding that piece of content, which has your logo on it and maybe puts you in a good light, but you don't know who they are?
I think there's a second consideration there, actually, and that is it doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense for you to gate that content. Is that in line with the user experience that you're creating?
That's a good point, particularly if that content isn't extremely valuable, but also it creates, I think you referred to it as just a quid pro quo sort of relationship, mm-hmm. where I feel like I'm giving you my contact info, my privacy in exchange for something else. And now, do I really feel like you've helped me, that you're my friend? I don't know if it totally negates the whole, you know, buddying up with your prospect mm-hmm. component of think.
Either way, at the end of the day, whether you gate it or not, there's kind of an ultimate thing that we need to keep in mind is the content valuable? Because whether you gate it or not, if it's not valuable, then it's not going to create that relationship and build that affinity and be that resource that we're looking for our Think content to do for us.
So we've talked about content. I think we're pretty well wrapped up on that part. How do we get this content in the hands of the right people? How do we find people who are in think state so that we can get them this valuable think state content?
That is a really good question. And, you know, kind of the key here is first party data, because again, we want to be delivering the right message to the right person at the right time. And so to do that, we need to know that they're in think state, and that's where our first party data comes in. We want to look at those signals that they've sent us over time, that have let us know that they're in market, that they're interested. And we want to use that information to then get this content out to them.
And we can get these signals in a variety of different ways, but digitally, the two most common ways to get the signals of those that are maybe thinking but not ready to buy would be through your marketing automation system, which will track, you know, who's engaging in which content. And then also through retargeting technology, where you can build up pools of device cookies for people who have engaged with specific sets of content on your website. And you can use both of these to figure out and target and direct content to those that are in this particular buying state.
Something else to keep in mind or to consider is that we also want to advertise our Think content to our C audience, because this is how we tell when they're ready to move on. And this is a part where it gets a little bit confusing. So please, Steve, help me clarify if I mess this up a little bit. But in order for us to know that someone has moved from C to Think, we need some sort of indicator. And so by showing them some limited Think content, not a lot, just enough that if they see that ad and they're ready to be, they're in that state, they're going to act on it. Once they act on it, that becomes the indicator for us that they are now in think state, and we can continue to market them with the rest of our think state messaging.
Yeah, so in order for this to work, you have to have multiple pieces of think state content, right? Because if we dangle one piece of think state content to those people and see they bite, great, now we know they're in think, but what are we going to do about it? Because they've already got the one piece of think state content we have. So you have to have multiple pieces of think state content. You have to dangle some of that to your C audience, and then you have to have the rest of it in reserve so that if anyone engages with either that piece that you've dangled in front of C in a paid media sort of way, or any of the other content that maybe you have hosted on your website or out on social media, that now you can go back and give them the rest of that content and fill in all the holes so that you're helping and nurturing and being that friend that's full of all that helpful advice and resources, right?
Yes, definitely. And don't let that need for additional content scare you, because one thing we need to keep in mind, and this is going to vary by industry, but how long your prospect is in think state, this isn't necessarily going to be a 1 or a 2 day thing. I mean, it could. There's always that chance. But I think in most cases, you're going to have an extended period of time, whether that's a few days, a few weeks, or a few months. If you only have one piece of content, that's going to get stale. If they consume that content, it's going to turn them off. If it's content that doesn't appeal to them and they never click on it, then now you have no message in front of them. So it's always a good idea to have a few different pieces so that you can make sure that you've got relevant and timely messaging along each point as they're waiting to, or as they're getting ready to move into that due state.
Excellent. How do we measure success? How do we know when we're winning with our Think audience?
Yes, always a good question. We always want to measure. With the Think audience, our goal is to be their guide and their friend as they move along the journey. And the key indicator here is going to be engagement. And so this is, you know, how many minutes can we get them to interact with our brand? How many pieces of content can we get them to read? Are they scrolling all the way down the page? Are they watching our video all the way through? All of these different key engagement metrics that are going to help us to identify that, yes, they are engaging with our content.
So key things that I like to throw out there as metrics, if we're putting together a dashboard here, it's things like time on site or time on page, or even better, dwell time on individual pieces of content. How long are they engaging with each individual piece? How much time are they giving our brand on screen, right? You can also look at scroll depth. So what percentage of articles, or how many articles did they scroll 80% of the way down or more? We can look at downloads, just sheer number of pieces of content. How many ebooks have they downloaded and white papers and guides and everything else? Seconds of video, you can actually tally up how many seconds of video one individual has watched over forever, right? And now you can kind of get a picture of how well you're impacting that individual. And then in some cases, and this isn't applicable all the time, but you can look at sharing statistics. So if you're truly creating engaging content that solves somebody's problem and provides them value, they're going to share that with others. That's not always true, particularly in situations like B2B, where I don't think that piece on finding scalable marketing automation solutions, that webinar got a ton of shares because the itch that it scratched was a smaller, very targeted audience. But things like Blue Aprons at Recipes, you bet those get shared around and all the time.
Really great point. And again, I think there's a couple of factors to consider there of when it's applicable, and it's who is your audience? Is it a very targeted audience? And what is your, you know, sort of the size of your audience? Is the product or service appeal to a mass audience, where, you know, Blue Apron appeals, everyone's eating. Not everyone's looking for recipes, but everyone's eating. And so you've got pretty big group to pull from.
Another thing that you can look at with your Think content is, did this Think content contribute to your conversions? Now, it's not going to generate conversions because these people aren't ready to buy. So this is not going to be the last thing that they touch before they go to buy. So in order to really understand whether or not this content contributed to conversions, you have to have a more complex, what's called an attribution model, than last touch, which is the default for a lot of systems. The good news is Google Analytics, free version, out of the box, has more complex attribution models than last touch. And you can actually set it up so that you are watching if they engaged in Think content, did that contribute to my conversions? So what percentage of my conversions were assisted by this set of content? And you can get that statistic. And now you know, well, okay, without Think content, it may have hurt, or with Think content, it did help X percentage of my conversions.
I think one other note is, if you are gating your content, you can also count the number of contacts gathered. But again, make sure you're using that in the right way, and that it aligns with that user experience that you're creating.
Yeah, we're not saying gating is bad. Mm-mm. We're just saying that use it cautiously and not make it your default necessarily. And on that note, I think it pretty well wraps things up. Wouldn't you say, Elizabeth?
I think we did.
So I want to thank everybody for making time again for us this week. And until next week, onward and upward.
you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the podcast on YouTube or your favorite podcast directory. If you want notes and links to resources discussed on the show, sign up to get them emailed to you each week at iterativemarketing.net. There, you'll also find the Iterative Marketing blog and our community LinkedIn group where you can share ideas and ask questions of your fellow iterative marketers. You can also follow us on Twitter. Our username is at @ITER8IVE, or email us at podcast@iterativemarketing.net. The Iterative Marketing Podcast is a production of Brilliant Metrics, a consultancy helping brands and agencies rid the world of marketing waste. Our producer is Heather Ullman with transcription assistance from Emily Bechtel. Our music is by Seastock Audio Music Production and Sound Design. You can check them out at seastockaudio.com. We'll see you next week. Until then, onward and upward.